So that's Isaiah, and it's chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 17. Right, let's hear God's word. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terrible the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terrible the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? So reads God's word. Second reading is taken from Revelation chapter 6. We read chapter 7 this morning. Tonight we'll read chapter 6. This morning we spoke about the Lamb, speaking to the Lamb. Tonight I said that we would be thinking about not only speaking to the Lamb, but before the Lamb speaks to us concerning that day. There's a day coming when the Lord will open his mouth and every shall will hear him. And we need to speak to the Lamb today before he speaks to us concerning that day. And we read chapter 7 this morning, and that talks about that day. But we'll read chapter 6 tonight. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they yield. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto them, to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also that and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened his sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What a difference from the reading this morning. This morning it tells us, it said there that they were given white robes, and in chapter 7 it talks about them wearing white robes. Who are these who've got the white robes? They are the people who have washed their clothes in the blood of the, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're lying there at peace. But here in chapter 6, it's a different story. That's why I was thinking this morning of speaking to the Lamb now, today, before he speaks to us against that day. And it tells us what that day is in John chapter 5 and verse 28. It tells us something of that great and that glorious day that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Speak to the Lamb today before the Lamb speaks to you on that day. I just made mention of what that day would be like. And it tells us there in John chapter 5 just exactly what that day would be like. Many people mock at the scriptures. Many people mock at the Christian. Many people don't believe that there is a God. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe anything. And yet the Bible is God's truth and word. And this is what that day is. That we need to speak to the Lord today. And not wait till he speaks to us on that day. And this is what's going to happen on that day. In John chapter 5 and verse 28 tells us, Marvel not at this. Well, let's read the other ones. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now he's talking about an hour that is to come, and it now is. And I would believe this is, in a sense, the first resurrection from being dead in our trespasses and sins, in verse 25. The hour is coming, and now is. And if we hear his voice, he says that we'll be saved, we'll live. So I would say, in a sense, it's the first resurrection, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, but when he talks, and we believe in him, we come to life. The second, I would call resurrection, is when we are dead. In verse 28, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, did you hear that? All who are in the graves, even those who mock and don't believe, when Christ comes back again, all who are in the graves shall hear his voice. And for the first time in their life, they will obey his voice. Jesus says, come unto me, but they won't come. But on that day, it's not arrived yet. The other one hour that he says is coming, when he is going to preach the gospel and people are going to be saved, it has come. But there's that other day he's talking about here that has not come yet. And everyone who's in the grave, my dear friends, what an incredible day that will be. Those who are alive will see this, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when he calls the dead, they shall rise, and then those who are left shall be changed immediately. What a day that will be. There will be those with the Lord in his presence, rejoicing and singing his glory, and then there will be also those in his presence who will be mourning and cursing and pleading and crying, and it will be too late. Because that day there in verse 28, that's the last day of time. And in the last day of time, there is no time to repent. And on that last day of time, it's the first day of eternity. Now, we know there's no days in eternity, there's no time, but we have to use these words that we know of. But the last day of time, when there's no time to repent, is the first day of eternity and all the time to regret. What will be the cry in hell? Well, I don't know, but I could imagine it could be this. If only I had believed. If only I had went to church when he invited me. If only, if only, if only. And it will be a cry for all eternity. This is why we must speak to the Lamb today. Because the day is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There will be those who will be rejoicing. I'll repeat that again. I love to repeat it. Isaiah chapter 33:17, one of my most favourite verses. A day that I long for. This is what I said this morning. Why are you going to heaven? Why do you want to go to heaven? Let me just read what I read this morning. Why people want to go to heaven. This is the reason. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. This is the reason why many people want to go to heaven, and even unbelievers believe in heaven, because they speak about those who have already gone, have already died. They say they're always looking down. So many people believe in heaven and they want to go there. And why do they want to go to heaven? Why does the Christian want to go to heaven? I explained this morning. This is why most people want to go to heaven. Because on verse 4 it says there is no tears. There's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, because all the former things have passed away. This is a good reason to go to heaven. And this is why people, even Christians, want to go to heaven when I've asked them. My life has been full of pain, but when I get there, there'll be no pain. My life has been full of sorrow and anguish, and when I get to heaven, there's no such thing like this. That's why I want to go to heaven. I'm going to enjoy heaven. Is that your reason for going to heaven? Well, I'll tell you what my reason is for going to heaven. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he, that is God, that sat upon the throne, said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. That's the reason for going to heaven. Verse 4 is benefits that God will give us. But the main reason we should want to go to heaven is because what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 33 verse 17, that thine eyes shall see the King in all his beauty. When I read verse 4 before, I never mentioned God. To be in a place where there is no tears, there's no death, there's no sorrow, nothing. It would be hell if Christ wasn't there. Christ is the main object. Christ is the one who came to die for sinners, who gave his life's blood. So we need to think, why do I want to go to heaven? Is it just to be rid of this world? I said this morning, I'm going back on this morning's sermon. We need to ask ourselves, yes, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but why? Because everything's going to be nice. That's a benefit. All these things are benefits that God gives us. But the first reason for the Christian should be this. I'll be with God. I'll see my Saviour, Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'll be in His very presence. In Psalm 119, late on, it tells us there forever. Forever. There's no such a word as goodbye in heaven. Because we're with each other forever and forever. Speak to the Lamb of God. John says, Behold, the Lamb of God. He doesn't just say the Lamb. He says it's the Lamb of God. And we need to realize this, that salvation is of the Lord. God sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him. He delivered Him up, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. He delivered Him up. And in Luke it tells us there that He forsook His Son. And people want to go to heaven because I don't want to have any more pain or any more sorrow. And these are good things. But our attitude should be this. I want to see Jesus. He came to see me. He came to save me. And all Christians. And that should be our first desire. And the psalmist tells us, Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desire of your heart. My desire is this, that I might see Him. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, when He comes again, you'll be like Him. You'll see Him as He is. Again, as I said this morning, He's not the same as He was when He came off the cross and went into the tomb. He was a man who was marred more than any other. You wouldn't have recognized Him. It was produced there for the people to see by Pilate, Behold the man. And when they saw him, it tells us there in Isaiah chapter 52 that he was marred more than any other. You wouldn't have recognized him. He's not the same. He's not the same. It says there in Isaiah, Thine eyes shall see your King in all his beauty. If I can put it this way in human terms, he's a good-looking young man. He's in heaven. He's still the same age as when he ascended. He's still that same young man. 33 years before he was crucified, before he went into the tomb. You want to speak to him today? That's why we preach. That's why there's an open-air mission where they go on the streets every day preaching the gospel, telling them about the Lamb that's going to come and the Lamb that's going to have his day. Who is the Lamb? John tells us in John chapter 1 verse 29, he's the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, God required a lamb twice a day, morning and evening. God demanded it. He required it. And men had to give him it. But there had to be a chosen lamb. They had to go out into the field and they had to look amongst the lambs and to see which one was the most perfect. And then they brought it. And they kept it for the 4 days. And then they slaughtered it. And it's interesting, when did Jesus make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem? It was 4 days before the crucifixion. It was the same time that the lamb was set aside. That's why Jesus says that he could fulfill all scripture. Yes, in the Old Testament, God demanded this lamb and the man had to give him it. But when we come to the New Testament, it's man that needed a lamb. And it was God that provided it. And again, it was a chosen lamb. It was God's own son. It wasn't one of those angels, the cherubims, those glorious angels that were sent to earth to do God's work, to tell people certain things. They were sinless. They had never sinned. And yet they weren't good enough to take the sins of sinners or to take the punishment. They couldn't die. An angel cannot die. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he came, couldn't die. He had to take upon him manhood to become a man. It was the man Christ Jesus who died on the cross. Not God. It was the man, Christ Jesus, that gave his life a ransom for many. Who is the Lamb? He is God's chosen Lamb that he sent for sinners. For me. And if you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that's for you as well. That's why I say to you and I say to the people that I was speak to, you must speak to the Lamb today. Why today? Why not tomorrow? Have you never been told by someone you've spoken to, I'm too young, I want to live my life. When I get older, I'll start to think on these things. When I become aged and I get nearer death, I'll start to think on these things. Why today? Why not wait till tomorrow? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us why today, because it says today is the day of salvation. Today, now. That's why we must speak to the Lamb today. Because God has not promised us tomorrow. God has only given us today. But he hasn't promised us tomorrow. How many people have been called into glory at a moment's notice. Many without even saying goodbye. When we have these plane crashes, train crashes, and accidents and things like that, people are swept into eternity without a word. That's why I say, when you get swept into eternity, it's the last day of time and there's no time to repent. So you must speak to the Lamb today. And if you speak to the Lamb today, this is what you'll find. Psalm 119, verse 65. And we've been singing about it. The last two hymns have been singing about this. And 165, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That was written long, long time ago. Is it still relevant today? Surely not. Surely we've got more sense than believing an old book like this. But this is God's word. And it's relevant today. It will be relevant tomorrow. And if the Lord should tarry a million years, it will be relevant in a million years' time. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's essential that we speak to the Lamb today. Why to the Lamb? Why not to the priest? Why not to the minister? Why not to these holy men and women? Why not speak to them? They can tell us, they can help us. Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this: "There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." It has to be Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's why we have to talk to the Lamb today. He's alive forever. That we only have a few years left on this earth. And it's only on God's earth that a man or a woman or a young person can be saved. There is no salvation in eternity. None whatsoever. That's why I said there, it's the first day of eternity and you have all the time to regret. And there's people regretting today in hell, in their soul. And one day, when Jesus comes back again, and John chapter 28 comes to life, comes to the fullness of time, and they're resurrected from the dead, and their body and their soul shall become one again, and then they are cast away, as it tells us there in Matthew chapter 25. That's when they start to feel real pain. The soul may be in anguish, but it's not in pain. And the body is not in pain because it's rotting away. But when they come together again, that's when the Christian has the fullness of joy. Dear friends, are you longing to be with the Lord? Are you quite happy where you are? The way things are going? In one sense, we should be happy because the Lord has brought us to this point and He has been good to us. But it should not be the fullness of happiness because, as Terry said, I said this morning, one of my colleagues has been called home. And it was written down on the letter that was sent to us, and this was what he said just before he died: "The best is yet to come." The man was on his deathbed. And he could tell the best is yet to come. And he'd had a good life. But the best is yet to come. That's why we need to speak to the Lamb today. Because the time is coming when He will speak to us. And He'll say, "Rise." And everyone shall rise. That will be again the only time when everyone shall obey His voice. Who is the Lamb? He's the Lamb of God. Why speak to the Lamb? Because today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Why the Lamb? Because there's no other. The Israelites could have went out and got a donkey. They could have went out and maybe got a zebra. At least they're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. Surely the Lord's going to be pleased. I'm sacrificing to him. But no, the Lord said it has to be what I tell you it has to be. It has to be a lamb or an ox or a goat. It has to be what God specifically says. And God specifically said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to Jesus. That's why you must speak to Jesus today. I'm talking to the Christians. But I believe that this is going to go out into the internet. There may be those listening next week. Their dear brother here will be putting it on the internet. Maybe next week someone will be listening to this. For the first time they'll hear about Jesus and the way of salvation. A Muslim, a Hindu, an atheist, a humanist. They might just turn on, and by accident for them, they might hear this preaching or any other preaching, and they might be saved. That's why I labour on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't know who's listening. And the last question is this: what about? Speak to the Lamb today. What about? Have you enjoyed reading about his miracles? Have you loved to have been there because men said that this man speaks with authority? I'd love to have been there, Lord, to hear you because people said no one ever spoke like this man. What are you going to talk about if you're going to come to the Lord? About your ailments? About your disappointments? Paul tells us what we should be talking to the Lamb about. And he tells us there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 where he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. That's what you need to talk to the Lamb about. Sin. My sin. Which is a great offence to God. Your sin. Which is a great an offence to God. And yet God is not going to deal with you as we so deserve. God has sent his Son into the world that we might be saved. Let me just mention these three things. The time's gone. We're going to have the table. Now let me just finish with these three things. Something of concerning the necessity of speaking to the Lamb. We need to speak to him about life before death. That's why today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We need to speak to the Saviour concerning our life before our death. And that's about being saved, forgiven of all my sins, coming to him and acknowledging that he is the only way of salvation. We need to speak to him concerning our life before death, because we're all going to die unless he comes back again. Secondly, we need to speak to him about life or death. Terry could say to his wife and to his family, the best is yet to come. You need to speak to the Lord. At death, when we're nearing death, where am I going to go? Lord, are you there? Lord, I've offended you all of my life. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you save me? We need to think about the Lamb at death, because death severs everything. The psalmist says, who's going to thank you in death? No one can do that. So we need to talk to the Lord, to the Lamb before our death. We need to speak to him at our death, and we need to speak to him about the life after death. Life after death. What can we say about life after death? They shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Even in the Old Testament we have similar words. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we need to speak to him before we die. And we need to be thinking of him and speaking to him at death. And then, of course, we'll speak to him after we're dead. When he resurrects us, we'll be speaking to him then. We'll be worshipping the Lamb. Time is gone and we're going to the table, so I leave it there, but I just want to say this once again for the last time here this evening. Speak to the Lamb today before he speaks to you concerning that day. Let's pray.